Welcome, listeners, to our review of Bad Boys 2.
The drugs. No drugs. So all that is for nothing.
We did some of it.
Since 9/11, we've gone high tech over the water, so the dope runners have gone low. The biggest shipment on record is coming in tonight, and we want to know who's behind it.
What can go wrong with that?
With you alive.
I can't be in a gunfight every day.
We just want to talk.
You want to talk?
Oh, good.
They can't hear you because they're still shooting at you.
You all right, man?
Bullets, man. Oh, excuse me.
You didn't tell Marcus about us.
No.
Mike, he's my brother, okay? Don't be scared.
Whoa, hey, I ain't say I was scared. Something wrong with your brother.
Mike, did you notice when we left, everybody was dead?
No. We didn't kill the one dude.
This has got to be the worst, most emotional cop week of my life.
Yeah, it's been a little rough.
The United States does not negotiate with hostage takers.
This is not just a situation. It's my sister.
I don't want to know what you guys are cooking up.
We ride together. We die together. Bad Boys for life.
All right, Dean, it's here. We've been holding our breath for this one. Bad Boys 2 is a 2003 American action comedy film directed by Michael Bay, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, starring Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, with a supporting cast including Jordy Mauler, Gabrielle Union, Peter Stormare, Teresa Randall, Joe Pantoliano, and a little cameo from Michael Shannon.
I mean, it's not that little.
It was bigger than I thought.
Yeah, that's what she said. But when in the first scene, I was just like, because you said it was a small cameo. So when he was in that first scene, I was like, oh, damn, is that it? And he comes back and I was like, yeah, boy.
Really elevated the film for you, did it?
I mean, it made me smile.
Didn't hurt the film?
Didn't hurt. That's a better way of putting it.
This was the last R-rated film to be directed by Michael Bay until Pain and Gain, which was 10 years later.
So you could say it wasn't the last R-rated film he directed.
Until 10 years later. Because previous to Bad Boys 2, he had a string of R-rated films.
The Rock, Bad Boys.
Armageddon?
No. What?
That'd be PG-13.
R-rated. What Armageddon version did you
thinking,
watch?
Are you thinking R-rated Australian way?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
I don't know.
Although The Rock is R-Australian.
Yeah, it is too.
Yeah, very soft R.
That's a soft R for sure.
Yeah.
This was actually the last film as well that Jerry Bruckheimer and Michael Bay worked together because Bruckheimer passed away a little while later.
Sad to hear. I mean, did Bruckheimer do Con Air and Face Off as well?
Yeah, all those films.
It was a one through line.
Anyway, there's not too much trivia I could find about this film.
What? Shocking.
I know, right?
Surely there's a wealth of stories behind the making of this film.
But we'll go to a release date here.
Oh.
Yeah, here's one for you. 9th of July, 2003, with a runtime of 147 minutes, which is ridiculous.
Yes, way too long.
No tagline for this film I could find. First time ever.
No tagline.
Yep. I don't understand that. Maybe they used all their budget of $130 million on the movie itself.
Man, that's a lot of money.
Grossed $138 million in America.
Okay.
And worldwide, $273 million. So doubled its budget.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe a tiny little bit of profit there after everything. Marketing and all that good shit.
They wouldn't have spent $100 million on marketing.
Why not?
That's a lot.
Would have been bloody close. But let's look at the critical response. Since I have no trivia, basically, let's look at the critical response here. Letterboxd, have it at 3.0. So
generous.
Generous.
Oh, generous for Letterboxd.
The film overall received negative reviews for its running time, bloated plot, extreme violence, and misogyny. On Rotten Tomatoes, it had a 23 approval rating. The site's critical consensus says 2.5 hours of explosions and witless banter. Sounds like our podcast back in the day.
back in the day.
We used to go for 2.5 hours back in the day.
I was going to say, there's still witless banter, Endo. okay, I kind of disagree with that. I wouldn't say the banter is witless.
What about some of these high-ranking critics, I guess? Roger Ebert gave it 1 out of 4, said he was especially offended by one scene involving the teenage boy, saying, "The needless cruelty of this scene took me out of the movie and into the minds of its makers. What were they thinking? Have they so lost touch with human nature that they think audiences will like this scene?"
Mate, I like that scene.
Yeah, that scene's hilarious.
That was funny. That was one of the funniest scenes of the film.
Actually, on an episode of At the Movies with Ebert and Roper, Richard Roper called Bad Boys 2 the worst film of 2003.
It's not that bad.
No, I don't think it's that
bad. It's not that levels of bad.
I got another negative rating here. 0.5 star from The Real Views. Said Bad Boys 2 isn't just bad, it's a catastrophic violation of every aspect of cinema that I as a film critic hold dear. I think this is a bit of a hyperbole here.
Get the stick out of your ass.
What about a positive one here? Dean from the Seattle Post said, "Mindlessly fun, if you like this type of movie, that is."
Even the positive one. If you're into this.
At a stretch.
Turn your mind off, you'll have some fun.
It was praised by a few critics for its deftly handled action sequences and visual effects. Probably the best thing it has going for it. But this film was nominated for some awards.
Oscars.
MTV Movie Awards.
Razzies.
It was nominated for Best On-Screen Team, which it lost to Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in 50 First Dates.
I mean, I second that. It's a good movie.
It was also nominated for Best Action Sequence for the Intercoastal Freeway Pursuit and lost to Return of the King for the Battle of Gondor.
I mean, that's stiff competition.
But over on IMDb, this has a 6.6 over 213,000 ratings. If you remember, Dean, the original Bad Boys had a 6.9. So technically, this film is worse. Do I agree with it? Do you agree with it? Why don't we get into that? What do you think of the old Fast and Furious style opening credit sequence we got here? I think this was done about the same time as Too Fast, Too Furious. And all I could picture in this was like these really fast zooming close-ups of everything with the text flying onto the screen. I'm like, man, this just feels like a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, it was fine. I thought nothing of it. It wasn't so bad to pique my interest, and it wasn't good enough to pique my interest. It was just, okay, here's generic early 2000s. Yeah, intro or opening credits.
The white supremacist shootout. What do you think of this? Singing the Bad Boys song again. They got to sing
Oh
that.
My God. As soon as they started, I was like, stop it. And then they start, is this where they start like making fun? Like, oh, you don't know the words?
Yep. We only ever do the chorus. See, a lot of these sort of jokes were very flat for me in this one. But yeah, like you said, get a little Michael Shannon here. I don't mind like their banter in terms of like when one's hostage and they're still trying to play up that, oh, he's crazy. He's gonna shoot ya.
Yeah. You know what is crazy?
Slow-mo.
Slow-mo. Not just slow-mo, but the
bullet time.
The double, you know, like double holding the guns, yeah. Doing rolls, not in like a, like, look how ridiculous we are. This is a super serious. This is what bad boy cops do. They do rolls while shooting two guns at the same time.
And hitting every single person. Like,
come on.
Especially when like everyone else is shooting. And then when you get to the slow-mo of Will Smith, like diving to one side, shoots the balls and just instant one shot bang in the neck. Like he's, you know, fucking dead shot.
Yeah, dead shot. Maybe Magneto.
Well, how did that slip past you?
Because he is dead
shot. That's right.
Brilliant. Man, yeah. It's been a while since I've watched Suicide Squad, man. Cut me some slack.
But Marcus gets shot in the ass.
Yeah, that was, what was that? Was that your American accent?
Was that not an American accent?
It was pretty bad. Do it again.
You shot me in the ass. I shot you in the ass. Honestly, I thought the shtick of him being shot in the ass went for longer in this film from my memory. I thought it continued on through at least halfway through, and it's over pretty quickly. Like, there's the scene where he's, you know, his pool gets destroyed, even though he lives on the waterfront.
Yeah, but that's not unheard of.
Oh, and just a quick skip right to the end when they're in the pool again. He still chains the dog up to the pool again. Why would you do that again?
Does not learn from his mistakes.
No, he does not.
Our Marcus.
Did you like this hiding the relationship between Sid and Marcus? Oh, sorry, Sid and Mike?
Yes, I did.
Yeah?
I did. I thought it actually was something interesting that happened in this film that was memorable and actually affected the plot.
It affected their relationship.
Like, yeah.
The big two things is what is it, Mike's recklessness and how he's basically going to get Marcus killed at some point and his relationship with his sister.
Yeah. One thing I did remember from this film from all those years ago was the woosah. I feel like that has really lived on longer than this film.
It makes it better because Joey Pants does it as well.
Who?
Joe Pantoliano.
You call him Joey Pants?
Yes.
Is that a common nickname for him? Who has ever said that?
I've heard Joey Pants more than Joe Pantoliano.
It's Joe Pantoliano.
It's not. It's Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
I mean, it's not a bad nickname. Oh, how good's the scene in the club that Peter Stormare's in? The
Every scene with Peter Stormare is
also. No, no, no. The excessively long shots of women at the strip club, their big tits, their ass. It's just like, oh, man, Michael Bay.
I wonder where I got that misogyny from.
It's just, it's so, it's
early
awkward.
2000s
it's
Michael
awkward.
Bay.
Awkward, like- yeah. You know, edit this out for your own personal collection, mate. You don't need to subject us all to this stuff. Like, it's so long. I was like, okay.
Kept going and going.
Still in the strip club?
Compare this bad guy in this film. What's his name? I can't remember. Tapia. This drug boss Tapia compared to Fouché from the first film.
Yeah?
Who you got?
Peter Stormare.
Add him in as a wild card, yeah, for
Peter
sure.
Peter Stormare.
But what about the main two? Come on.
Probably this guy.
Wow, you're ridiculous. Fouché, for sure.
No. Oh, that's right. You remember the henchmen and crap from the first... No, come on.
Well, who are the henchmen in this?
Who cares? Peter Stormare's in it.
I think his character definitely gets...
sidelined?
Yeah.
Why isn't he the big bad?
Like, he's kind
You don't
of
need,
under-
like...
He's underused in this film. Like, he's there. His partner gets... Like,
that was a great scene.
But why did they kill him again? Because they questioned their contract or something?
Try not to think too much about this film, Hendo.
I shouldn't at all. But then he disappears, and then he comes back at the end. Oh, you killed my partner, and he gets killed by the cops.
He should have been the big bad.
Would have been better.
It would have.
What about the realization that Sid is actually undercover here?
Okay. Did we only learn about this when we see her walk in like the white pants and whatnot? Because I wasn't sure if this was already discussed. I was like, what?
No, because she mentions, I think, at the pool that she's just doing desk work.
And
then she turns out she's this undercover money launderer.
Yeah. Yeah. This stuff doesn't really matter. To be honest.
I think it's a little convoluted here where you got Mike and Marcus chasing these pirate guys who were there to steal the money from her, but the DEA is on the other side with Tapia. I'm like, why is this so complicated?
And how is Mike and Marcus able to like stop and have a long conversation with Gabrielle Union, Sid, who is undercover? I was like, no.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
I know.
Like, they are professionals in this industry. If she's like, I'm undercover, like, okay, we'll talk later. They full get out of cars and have this long conversation. And then as soon as Mike and Marcus go, someone comes to see Sid. I was like, it's too unrealistic. Like, that is, that's a big problem in this film.
What about the car chase along?
It's so good. It's so good.
This is where Martin Lawrence shines. He's just ridiculous, scared nature and Mike telling him to shut the hell up and let him concentrate.
How massive are the guns they're firing as well? They're just,
And then Marcus shoots the car inside. It's like, oh, well, my bad. That's my bad.
That was funny.
It was. I had a blast with this scene.
And the boat.
Yep.
The boat.
Even
it's
the
awesome.
Shit when the cars are bouncing over their head. And Marcus has his head out the window for some reason. Like, oh, shit, as it goes over his head.
Yeah, the action's great.
Yep.
Honestly, like, this is such a step up from the first Bad Boys in regards to action.
Oh, in regards to action, yes, because there are so many action scenes in this film. I'm pretty sure the extra runtime of this film is all these action scenes.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
The action in this is good.
It is good.
There's certainly a lot more of them wrecking Miami and Joey Pants getting pissed off at them this time.
Mm. This is another scene I remember when they're in the house and you've got the 360 camera movement.
All innovative at the time.
Oh, it was great.
Now, though?
It's great.
Kind of seems outdated now. I think this was one of those.
Yeah, but you got to watch it.
Time.
You got to watch it like for the time as well. Yeah. Like, you got to understand this isn't coming out now. Came out early 2000s. And this camera movement round where you've got, you know, this sort of standoff between Mike and Marcus and these random bad guys, whilst who really cares? Mike and Marcus are going to be okay. I'm going to kill everyone. It's still a fun scene.
There's a little outdated scene coming up here when they're in the camera place trying to get the footage and they're in the room.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's, what is this, 13 years later?
This is hilarious. 14? I loved it. Is that wrong of me to enjoy this scene so much? This is
I
funny.
I chuckled at its
ridiculousness. This is funny. This is funny. When they're sort of...
When you were inside me, covering the kid's ears.
When you pumped me from behind, I think you damaged some nerves. My ass still hurts from what you did to it last night. This is gold. I'm sorry. The start of this film is very good.
I think we can move on to when they're undercover doing the pest control.
Yeah.
I didn't like this.
This is a stretch.
This joke of Marcus getting shit scared by all the rats.
Yes.
It was too much.
Yep.
Well, the first one, maybe, but they did it like 6 or 7 times. I'm like, okay, it was kind of funny the first time, and it dropped on the second and was done by the third.
Yep.
Here's when Michael Shannon comes back.
Yeah, he's back.
He's there.
you know, doing his best.
I love how they had to do the quick little flashback to say, this is who this guy was, by the way.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, Michael Shannon was no one back then.
He was a no one then.
So now you might not need to, because people will be like, oh, it's Michael Shannon. Or, hey, I know that guy. But no, back then, probably necessary.
This is where Marcus finds out about Mike and Sid. And I like this. I like the you know, the argument, the verbal argument they have between each other here.
Dynamic.
Yeah, it was good. And yeah. Even just Mike's demeanor every time she's talking about, like, hinting at, oh, don't do that. That's not the time. Not the time for that. Just under his breath.
Yeah, she really blows up their spot, though, which kind of had to happen because Mike's not going to tell Marcus, so.
But did it have to happen in the middle of a stakeout? Probably not. Maybe this could have happened after all this.
They don't care. It's really, they want funny, interesting stuff in the middle of the action scenes. They want every scene to be an action scene.
Sometimes it works, and there's points in between the action that drag so much.
Yeah. And Mike is, you know, eventually sees this old photo or old book, Bad Boys for Life, written on it.
That's after he, isn't there a car chase with the dead bodies?
Yeah, I've got big action scene again in my notes.
What's big action scene one, big action scene two.
I mean, that's what this movie is. Yeah. It's just lots of, you know, gunfights and car chases.
This is very much, even not just the action, but the reactions from Mike and Marcus. Like when they're driving along and you see the dead bodies and you got Marcus again going, oh shit, oh. This happened just before. This one is nowhere near as good as the other one.
No, and that's my biggest problem with this film. I feel like it peaks way too early. I feel like that freeway chase is probably the best action scene.
100% agree.
And then you sort of just left, and then it keeps going. The last half hour, it's like, wow, we're still doing this.
Mate, there was a point when I was like, all right, let's check. Holy shit, there's a fucking half an hour left of this film.
Yeah.
What do they have to do in half an hour?
Yes.
Why is it so long?
This, I mean, I don't even know if it's an editing issue. I think maybe it's a script issue. They just needed to
remove complete scenes
out of this.
Cut half this shit out.
Yeah, tighten this up. This would be a decent enough film, but man, they just beat this dead horse.
Oh, that's right, because it's the car chase, and then they get out of the car, they're getting ambushed, and then there's a fight on the train as well.
Yeah.
So just before we get to one of the funniest parts of the film, Marcus is like, we're done. This relationship is done. I'm going to be, you know, transferring. And then Mike shows up and he sees that Ride Together, Die Together, Bad Boys for Life. And then they're good. Like, Marcus wasn't there for that. They haven't really patched anything up yet.
Did he not, you know, show the picture or anything?
No, Marcus wasn't there. He just walks in, looks at the graduation book. He's by himself.
It doesn't make sense. It should have been Marcus that saw that.
Yeah.
Because Marcus is the one who has the problems.
And so it never, there's no resolution to that. There's no like.
No, he's okay with it.
But when did he say that?
Well, he didn't have to. If you read between the lines of the fine-tuned acting from Martin Lawrence, you'd see that eventually he accepted it.
No, instead we get fucking Reggie.
Yeah, this guy was funny.
I read up a little bit of trivia that I could find. Apparently, Michael Bay made this guy think that Martin Lawrence like hated him, like was angry with him, and he told Martin Lawrence to play it along. So his reactions, that was it. I think Martin Lawrence's security guard told him, do not look him in the eyes. Do not look Martin Lawrence directly in the eyes or you're going to pop it. So he was nervous as hell when he got on there, and yeah, Martin Lawrence played it up. And
even Will Smith's very funny here. Like, you ever fucked a man? You want to?
You a virgin? Yeah, keep it that way. Ain't going to be no fucking tonight. We're at the morgue now. What do you make of this?
It's such a long scene.
It goes for too long.
Like, I feel like every scene is like this, but this one, like, really, they spend so long, like, getting to the point where they find the drugs inside the money. They find the money inside the coffin. And then when Martin Lawrence lays down on the sheet, I'm just like, oh, okay. Of course they're going to take him.
It's just an overextension of the first film when he can't handle dead bodies and he's pretending like he's almost going to be sick. Now this time, he's actually sick.
And again,
it's actually kind of graphic as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
Very, the kidney and the skull pops off.
The skull,
brain.
Yeah, like, the skull pop off was unexpectedly violent. But there's no way, again, I know realism isn't exactly what this film's going for.
No.
But there's no way the person who is wheeling out one dead body on a trolley would not realize there's a grown-ass alive man there as well.
Yeah. I agree. But, you know, like you said, this movie isn't really going for any realism.
No. Oh, now we get Marcus taking the drugs.
Oh, yeah. I always remember this scene.
With Joey Pants.
That's right. Joey Pants.
You remember Joey Pants.
Of course. How can you not?
That was pretty funny.
This was funny. I like
it. I don't know why they tried this ruse where he wasn't on the drugs.
It's for comedic effect.
It wasn't deliberate. Like, no. Go to the hospital, you know, just tell your boss, oh my God, like something, he's been slipped this. Like, it wasn't a deliberate drug taking, so yeah. And the, in fairness to Joey Pants, he's great about it. Like, he doesn't give him hell about it.
I mean, why would he? He's like, he's just ingested X. He's not going to yell at him.
Well, he does yell a lot.
Not about this.
In Bad Boys 1.
He yells a bit in this, but he's on the woo side.
He's much more kindly in this. I smell dead people. That was a funny line.
Yeah, this is where I noticed the runtime still had half an hour left, because they're at the mansion now. Sid's been found out, and I'm like, right, here we go. Here's the big shootout. Stormare's back. He dies. Like, this is the climax of the film.
Yep.
No, apparently the DEA and the Miami police are in two different places, and Mike and Marcus are chasing this boat, and there, and the DEA are over here, and no one comes together. And in the end, it's like, nothing really happens. Just finds out that Sid's been captured. And I'm like, this could have ended right there. Mm. This could have been the shootout. No.
No, they need to go to Cuba.
Yes.
What? This
movie has overstayed its welcome so much now.
Oh, this whole bit where, like you said, this was the climax of the movie. Then they go to Cuba. I was like, oh no, it's still going.
Yeah. And just this whole setup of them digging underground and all these weird setups with the remote control car.
Landmines. The iguanas.
This whole shootout part was not good. But I do remember, I always remember that scene on the border with the landmines and like the slow-mo and all that shit.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Maybe it was in the trailer, because I really remember that.
You really think they're going to put that whole thing in the trailer?
Maybe. I really do remember the landmine bits as well.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
And then they did the slow-mo, shoot him through the head again. And then he lands slow-mo, so slow, into the sand, and boom, just for added effect. He's clearly dead.
Yep.
It blows up, big fucking body everywhere. And that's the end. What? And then again, yeah, they're in the pool and the dumb shit happens again at the end. That's Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, mate.
So much better than Bad Boys 1.
God, you're so full of shit.
I'm not joking. Like, what did I give Bad Boys 1? Two and a half? Yeah, 2.5. This, I thought it was funnier. I thought the action was better. If it wasn't so long, I'd be really, like, championing this film. Maybe that's a stretch. I give it 3 stars.
Okay.
Now, you gave Bad Boys 1 4 stars.
Yeah.
And obviously, this is a better film. So, are we hitting 5?
Yes.
Nice. 5 out of 100.
No, when I went back to Letterboxd to log this, I had this at 3.
Okay.
No, there's one great action scene in this film and a couple of scenes where I had some good solid laughs, but it's 2.5 hours long and like 70% of this is filler, nonsense, not funny, boring action. I don't recommend this film. This is 2.5 for me. This is the 2.5 Bad Boys. It's too long. There's too much in there that is not warranted.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's all. That's the quickest final thoughts I've got to say.
Yeah, you've said enough. Interesting. What do you have expectation-wise for Bad Boys for Life?
I'm hoping for a 3. I'm hoping that I can just go to the theater. The theater. Interesting way to call a movie Bad Boys. I'm going to the theater to see Bad Boys. I'm just hoping for some sort of entertainment that is not too long.
I would be shocked if this film gets 3 stars from me. I'm expecting 2.
Well, this goes for 2 hours and 3 minutes.
Okay.
So it's not Bad Boys 2 level of length, but still 2 hours. What story can do they need to tell in 2 hours?
It's coming out in January. Not a good sign.
I'm not optimistic.
Not a good sign.
Maybe this might help us, though. Maybe if we go in with super low expectations, it might wow us a little.
Wow us? Come on.
I'm trying to be optimistic.
Is this out in the States yet?
No.
Okay. I wonder if they let critics see it.
Probably not.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how it performs, though, because they have started Bad Boys 4, I think I mentioned.
I don't think it'll go that good.
Yeah,
Even this film, it doubled its budget, which is almost breaking even. But that'll do it for this Patreon episode. Next week, we're back to the Patreon requested reviews.
What have we got next week?
The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Been a while. We talked it up a couple of weeks ago.
Finally doing it.
That's right. So thank you very much, patrons, for checking out the episode. And we will see you soon for the Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Bye.